Psalm chapter number 46. There we go. Psalm chapter 46. Psalm chapter number 46. In Psalm chapter 46, one verse, verse number 10, which says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for loving us. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, you just please be with the message today. I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to us as only you can. I pray that, Lord, we not just get through another service and another sermon, but, God, you just speak to us. Help my words to be yours, and my thoughts to be yours. I surrender myself. I pray that your Son would be lifted up. I pray that everybody, Lord, in the sound of your word this morning would allow the Holy Spirit to give them what they need, be it help, be it strength, be it encouragement, be it hope, be it chastening, be it rebuke, be it exhorting. God, whatever we need, and the Holy Spirit knows, I pray that you would have his perfect work and just keep a hedge about us, and we love you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. This psalm is a precious psalm to me. There's quite often that I use this psalm in hospitals, use this psalm at standing at bedside of maybe a loved one who's going to pass away, because it's a powerful psalm. It starts out in verse number 1, "God is our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble." I remember years ago, Wade's dad, I was talking to Brother Hiles, and he came to my office. He always came to my office before the Sunday night service. We'd have a word of prayer together, and he'd always share something. He called it, and all of you, most of you, you knew him, he called it Hiles stinking thinking, right? And he always shared that, just thoughts that he had. And I'll never forget this one. He made me turn here. He always made you do the work, just generally speaking. Always did. And I remember my first Sunday here. I hadn't even joined the church yet. He said, "I heard you're in Bible college." He said, "Yeah." I said, "I am." He said, "I want you to give me an 8-page paper on dinosaurs next week." I went, my dad's office was back there. I went back there. I was like, "This guy just told me to do an 8-page paper." He said, "Who?" I described him. He goes, "You don't have to do that for him." All right, yeah, all right. But I was glad. I was like, "Do I really?" He shared, he made me turn here, and he said, "Look at this." He said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." He said, "What do you see there?" I'm like, "That God is our refuge and strength and help in trouble." And he was like, "No, all right?" And he pulled this out, and I never forgot it. He said, "When is God with you?" I'm like, "Well, he'll never leave us nor forsake us." He said, "Exactly, but look at that. When we're in trouble, he's very present." That was kind of cool. He's always present. But when we need him most, he said he'd be very present. You say, "Explain that." That's about all I got, other than to say it's been true. He'll be there. So this psalm is addressed to people that are going through troubles. There's a lot of us in the auditorium this morning that are going through some troubles. It's also addressed to people in verse number 2 that are fearful. "Therefore will not we fear." You know, we can become full of fear, but understand this. God does not give us the spirit of fear. If we have this overcoming spirit of fear, that's not of God. That's the enemy, which we talked in Sunday school. That's our flesh, the world, the devil. They want to bring a spirit of fear into our lives. And we've experienced a whole lot of spirit of fear in the last 3 years in the world. And that's all the media does, is try to bring a spirit of fear into our lives. That's what they build news off of, right? Again, people that are fearful, why would we be fearful? Well, because our whole life's turned upside down. though the earth be removed. Sometimes the things that we think are going to be there forever are gone all of a sudden, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We can become fearful. So this psalmist for people who are facing troubles, people who are facing fears, and people who just feel overwhelmed. We've all been there too, right? Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Sometimes it seems like we're going to drown in problems and issues, and this world's just too much. I love the Psalms and the fact that pretty much any emotion that we will ever go through is addressed in the book of Psalms. It's just awesome. If you're struggling with an emotional issue, read the book of Psalms until you find it, because you'll find it. That's what the Psalms is. And here, this one is directed to those who are facing big troubles, those who are fearful, and those who are just overwhelmed in life. That's why this is a great psalm. Because it helps us by first reminding us, verse 4, there is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles, the Most High, and God is in the midst of her and shall not be moved. I can promise you this to every child of God, no matter what your trouble is, no matter what your fear is, no matter how overwhelmed you feel, someday it will all be behind you. And God will make sure he sees us through. And it talks about heaven and how the enemy may rage, but how do we get through it right now? How do we face these things in the present? And I think most of us know it's a good reminder that one day all of our troubles will be behind us. One day all of our fears will be forever gone. One day we will never be overwhelmed with life again. It will all be behind us and under his feet. Praise the Lord for that. We can look forward to heaven and know the enemy doesn't have a chance. God will take care of them. But how do we get through it today? Verse number 10 gives us our instructions. That if you're troubled, if you're fearful, you're overwhelmed, if you're all three, I would tell you this, that if you're lost today, you'll never get through these things without the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're lost today, I guarantee that you are in trouble. If you're lost today and you don't know you're going to heaven, you have reason to fear. If you're lost today and you're not going to heaven, life will be overwhelming. You need to get saved today. I know the Lord directed the message that primarily who I'm speaking today are people who claim to be saved. God doesn't want us to feel overwhelmed with trouble, fear, or life. But sometimes we do. If there's someone in the room that says, I've never been bothered by troubles, I've never felt overwhelmed, and I've never dealt with fear, you're a liar. Because we all do, right? I mean, I don't care who you are, we all face these things. And you may be facing it today. You might tomorrow. How do we get through it? The instructions of verse number 10, I want you to see these things with me this morning. Number one, be still. Be still. I got that point. I had to study the Greek, but there it was in verse 10. I'm just kidding, guys. It says be still. All right. Now, be still. What does that mean? A lot of times, we get in the midst of being troubled or fearful or overwhelmed with life, and we just do not take the time to stop. And as I said in our Hope program on Thursday, a lot of times we focus on the problem instead of focusing on God. And when these issues come in our life, you have one of two options. You're either going to see your problem from the viewpoint of God, or you're going to see God from the viewpoint of your problem. Now, let me explain that, all right? If you're seeing God from the viewpoint of your problem, then you sit and look at whatever the issue is, saying things like this: why did God let this happen? Why isn't God fixing this? Why do I still feel this way? This is too much. I don't even know what God can do. And we begin to cast doubt because the problem is our focus, and we're seeing God from the viewpoint of our problem. Does that make sense? I'm really deep on you this morning, right? It's Sunday, right? Or we can choose to see the problem from the viewpoint of God. When you look at your problem from the viewpoint of God, God's not looking at it saying, what are we going to do? Amen? God's not looking at it saying, oh, I've never faced this before. Right? God's not looking at it, you know, grabbing and pulling his hair out, saying, boy, I don't know if this is possible. No, to God, he's already conquered it all. In this world, you shall have tribulations, but we don't have to fear. What did the Lord say? I've overcome the world. Amen? God looks at our problem as something that's already taken care of. God looks at our problem as he knows more about it than we do. God knows the answers. God knows the solutions. God has the strength. God has the wisdom. God has the guidance. God will see you through every time. See, how do I know which one I'm focused on? Well, which one are you thinking about the most? If our problems is our focus, and that's why a lot of times when we're facing our fears and our troubles and the overwhelming issues of life, we just keep moving our mouths and our minds and our madness, right? We almost become panicking. We're wanting to talk to everybody. And it's good to share our burdens with our brothers and sisters to a point. Because a lot of times we just all like to talk about things and we never stop to look at the solution. Illustration: Job, did he have issues? Was he facing troubles? Right? You're all really quiet. You remember, do I need to go back and tell you the whole story of Job? Because I will this morning, all right? Job, was he facing troubles? Was he facing fears? Was he overwhelmed with life? Yeah, and then that's all in chapter number 1. Chapter 2 through 36. Everybody's talking. But here's what the problem is. Actually, here's what the problem is. And Job says, I don't understand anything you're saying. And all I know is my egg don't even taste anymore. I can't even taste anything. And life is just terrible. I wish that I would just die. And his friend said, well, you know, you wish you should die probably because there's some sin in your life. Well, I don't know if there's sin in my life. I don't know what's going on. Well, God is mad at you. And they're just constantly, and none of it was right. That's the way we get sometimes. When troubles and fears and the overwhelming life, we just want to just talk, or we want to try to fix it, and we run to everybody trying to fix our problems, and we lay at night and we wonder all night about why this, and we won't let our mind stop, and we just go on trying to keep ourselves distracted, trying to avoid the problems, which leads to a lot of people getting in things like alcohol and drugs and all kinds of things because they're trying to mask issues. Instead, God says, all right, I know you're troubled, I know you're fearful, you're overwhelmed, be still. That's what he says, amen. Stop. If you're lost today, I want you to stop. Quit going on with life. Quit just thinking, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, stop. Stop this morning and listen. We're so busy in life today. When we're not careful, we get so stressed out about life and things and issues. And really, stress wasn't that much of an issue till the last 60 years. My grandparents didn't deal a whole lot with stress. It's just the truth. You know. Every night, they were so stressed out. No, they sat on a porch. My grandma still sits on the porch. She has a little seat. Now it's behind a bush. She can see people, but they can't see her. Right? Yeah, that's where she is. But we're so overwhelmed because we don't take the time to give the attention to the one who can deliver us from our troubles and fears and overwhelmed life. In the Bible, Jesus said it this way quite often, having ears but cannot hear. We sit in church, we just go through motions all the time, and we don't take the time to listen to the Word of God. We wonder who the message could be for instead of letting God speak to us. If you're lost this morning, I want you to stop and be still for a second. And know this, that if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're headed towards a place called hell. But God doesn't want anyone to go there. And God loves you so much that even though the wages of our sin is death, God took care of our debt in sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who when He came to this world, lived a perfect, holy life. And He went to the cross of Calvary, and on the cross of Calvary, He took all of our sins upon Himself. All that debt that we owed, Jesus paid it all. And He paid for our sin debt. And He had to face the ultimate price of our death, of our sin, which is death. And He died, and He was buried. And if He would have stayed in that grave, we wouldn't have any hope because death still would have won. But He did not stay in the grave. Amen. After 3 days, nothing and no one and no power could hold Him in that grave. The stone was rolled back and He stepped forth out of that grave. He conquered death. He conquered sin. And He is the first fruits of all those who die in Christ. Just as He rose from the grave, so these bodies one day will also rise from the grave. Now, when we die, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You say, what's the big deal about the bodies then? Because the devil gets nothing. To those who are saved, God got total victory. Even these bodies will start out corruptible, will put on incorruption. Amen? This mortal will put on immortality. Amen? We will become like Him. If you're lost today, don't just sit through another sermon. Stop and consider. Jesus is the way to heaven. If you're troubled as a believer, if you're fearful, overwhelmed, all three, stop and be still. Be still. For a few minutes this morning, I want you to concentrate not on your problem, but on the God that can change everything. To realize who that God is. The word in the Bible is the word meditate. It's interesting if you study the word meditate. Every time that you look at the word meditate, it's usually associated almost every time with a great trial or battle or tragedy. And that's when God instructs them to stop and to meditate. You see Isaac meditating in the field after his mother died. You see Joshua being commanded to meditate on God's word day and night before he goes into battle. Well, it's interesting, recently reading a book on PTSD written by non-Christians, and they really promote meditation to people. And their thoughts on meditation is different than God's, but their thoughts is just focus on things, you know, that make you happy or bring good joys and good thoughts. But the reality is that God taught the same thing, that when you're facing these trials and traumas in life, stop, be still, and fill your mind with just how great God is. rehearse these scriptures in your mind. Rehearse these things. Understand, I'm so fearful about things. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Meditate on that. Amen? I'm not talking about sitting with your legs folded humming, all right? That's New Age junk, all right? I'm talking about what the Bible says, to stop and consider the Word of God and who God is. And let these things fill your mind. Well, I got so many troubles that I'm facing, and we all have been there. I understand, but stop. The problem is we don't stop and be still and think about just who God is. There's nothing our God cannot do. Stop and concentrate on the Word of God. If you're overwhelmed with life, stop and think on who God is. Stop and be still and know that He said, cast your cares upon me. Why? Because He cares for you. Oh, that ought to help you today. I'm overwhelmed. God says, I know. And I love you. And I will help you. Isn't that awesome? You say, but these things are huge. I don't know that I can control these things. That's where I love Job. 36 chapters of a bunch of people talking and right? Finally, in chapter 37, the Bible says, and the Lord spake to Job. That's when everything changes, amen? When we stop and listen to God. And the first thing God says is, Job, get up. It's really important. It's a really important principle. God didn't say, oh, lay there, let me comfort you. I'll massage your back, you poor little thing, right? The first thing He said to Job was, arise. If you want victory, you got to quit sitting there moping around. You got to get up and listen to what God said to Job. Chapter 37, who am I? It's awesome. And He talks about who God is. And he asked a whole lot of questions, and chapter 37 is filled with question marks. There's like 40 question marks in chapter, because God says, who did this? Who created everything? Who put the mountains in their place? Who put the... And he rehearses all these things so that God... Job is saying, he asks this question, who is God? He's having Job be still, get up, think, who is God? And then in the next chapter, he goes, all right, Job, now second, what can I do? And he rehearses through that chapter all the things that God can do. And Job's response is eventually, you can do anything, God. And then he gets to where I'm getting to. He then mentions, right in the middle of all this, Leviathan and Behemoth. Isn't it interesting? You know, one is probably a dinosaur, which they did exist, right? One is a dinosaur. One is some giant sea creature, all right? Later on, their tails can just basically move and cut down trees. It's a big animal, right? And then he says, all right, consider these two things. He basically says, could you, here's Travis Burke's commentary. Can you take a lasso and, lasso around the neck of this dinosaur and lead it to your house? Not a chance, right? The thing will step on you, right? It'll carry you away, right? And then he says, can you take a hook and a line? God has always endorsed fishing. Can you put a hook and a line and cast it into the water and pull Leviathan out? Well, no. You hook that thing, you're going to let go. You're going for a ride, right? Now, why did he talk about that? Because he says, who am I? What can I do? And then he's saying, there are some things, Job, that are just too big for you. You can't handle it on your own. You can't pull that Leviathan out of the water. You can't lasso that dinosaur and lead it around. There's some things that are too big for you, but Job, they're not too big for me. Amen? Who made them? Job said, you did. Who controls them? You do. God has never lost control. And then he gets in the next chapter and Job says, I'm just going to put a hand on my mouth. Important lesson. I'm going to quit talking. I'm going to start listening. And then in dust and in ashes, he says, God, you are God. God, I submit to you. You're bigger than my problem. You know all things. You can do all things. And God, no matter what happens around me, I know that you are a great God. And God says, now watch and see. And God gives him back double of everything. Isn't that awesome? I mean, you ought to get more excited than that. That's awesome. When he got to a point where he said, God, I trust you, and I'll yield my troubles, my fears, this overwhelming life. I know you're God, you're in control, and I'm just going to look to you. And God began to build him. It made him a stronger man. It's talked about in the book of James about the patience of Job, the enduring of Job, and how God made him even a stronger man, and God gave him back double of everything except his children. Because he didn't lose them. Right. He'd see them again. Right. Amen? Right. I mean, if he had 50 cattle, then he got 100. Yeah. If he had 100 camels, then he got 200. Right. He had 7 kids, and God gave him 7 more, not 14. Because he'd see the 7 again. Right. That's the glorious thing about the great reunion one day, right? Right. Be still. There's a lot of people in our auditorium this morning. I know we're troubled. I know we're overwhelmed. I know we're fearful. And the first step is just to be still. Put your focus back on God. Be still, and secondly, be sure. Psalm 46, verse number 10, be still. Now be sure and know. What should we be sure about? He is God. God is God. I'm not God. You're not God. Your problems aren't God. The devil's not God. This world's not God. Your fear is not God. He is God. If you're lost today, you need to be still and listen. And you need to be sure of this. The only way to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Your works will not get you to heaven. Your actions, your offerings, your baptism, whatever it is, those things will do you no good in obtaining heaven. Because you're not God. This world's not God. Your actions aren't God. But the Lord Jesus, he is God. He is the way to heaven. We must humbly submit to him and understand that I am yielding my eternal soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe I'm a sinner, but Christ died for me. To us who are believers today, we're facing our fears and our troubles and our overwhelming issues of life. Everyone that walked in this auditorium, I believe, I look around, I know pretty much everybody, you know God. You know who he is. If I ask you in this room, do you believe God is God? I believe that everyone would say, yes. Absolutely. But sometimes saying something and living something is entirely two different things. I want you to be still today, and I want you to be sure. Be sure that he is God. See, how does that apply? Well, whatever your trouble is, God can deliver. Whatever your fear is, God is greater than that fear. Whatever your cares are, he said, bring them to me. I'll give you rest. I love you. I care for you. Everyone would say he's God, but has everyone given him their burdens? Have we come to a place where we say, I give you my fears, God. I give you because he's God, and he can handle it. Be still. Be sure. The last thing in this passage is be settled. Be still. Know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Friends, the enemy doesn't win. He wins. I will be exalted in the earth. If your whole world's turned upside down, God's still God. The lost will see that He is God, the land will see that He is God, and we will rejoice forever that He is God. Sometimes we forget that. I was so encouraged yesterday, walked into the youth rally, and somebody went to camp this year. Remember EJ? Kissy, yeah, right? If you were at camp, you remember EJ, right? Man, he was a handful. From Central Baptist. And that's why he was a handful. Now his dad had been going to church there, and his dad walked in the auditorium, and Brother Ricky looked at me and goes, "That guy looks like that one guy that used to come to our church." And I looked at him, I was like, and we tried to figure out his name. And he did look like him. Then Brother Sturm, Pastor Sturm, came back and he goes, "Hey, did you know he just told me that you led him to the Lord?" I was like, I looked at Brother Ricky, I'm like, "That is that guy." Walk back there, it's Ed Fenton. Anybody remember Ed Fenton? He always walked around church, he always said Maranatha all the time, right? Remember that guy, right? There he was. His kid's in church. He's been going to church. Isn't that awesome? Sometimes you forget and you think that, you know, God's still working in lives. Just a lot of times we get so overwhelmed with our troubles and our fears and our cares that life just seems to be out of control. And I'm not preaching to one person, two people. There's a lot in our church today that we need to stop and be still. And we need to acknowledge and be sure that He's God. So of course we all know He's God. Compare that with our life and the choices and the actions we make. Amen. The Word of God says something, but we think, "Well, I don't want to do it." Who's God now? Amen. Well, I know what the Bible says, but I just said it's hard to get rid of. Who's God now? Then we wonder why life becomes overwhelming. A lot of our troubles and our fears and our cares are because we've allowed sin in our life and we don't want to deal with the sin. And then we wonder why, no, we need to stop and be still. And know He's God. And He wins. He will be exalted. My job is to recognize it today and say, "Yes, Lord." There's a lot of heavy hearts. There's fears. There's a lot of overwhelming situations. And I want to encourage people today to come humbly bow the knee today and say, "God, I want to be still." And be reminded that You're God. And that You will be exalted.